some of the book we're show explains why certain mitzvahs or certain surim, you know, don't fall into a single category across the board, because sometimes, you know, there are a much more nuanced definition. But of course, also in terms of Avodas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim and everything else that goes with it, just understanding what these things are, the implications are very, again, the hagdaros might be very subtle, but the implications are very, very important. So, for example, even in terms of what we're discussing, which are simanei kashrus, right? And of course, the same thing would be true if we were talking about, you know, Shmiras Shabbos or Shmiras Yom Tov or Shmiras Yom Kippur or Tzom Yom Kippur or, you know, whatever it is, or, you know, Kiddushin or Gerushin. It's important to know, you know, whether everything just, you know, is about avoiding what is Asur. And of course, that's the first and most basic and core aspect of it. You know, the Yira part comes first. You know, you have to make sure that you're not violating Isurei Torah. Right? That's these are immutable divine laws, which give our lives meaning, and you have to be very careful about them all. But knowing that in some cases you just have to avoid doing these things, and in other cases you have to be like aware a little bit. Part of the kiyum, because there's also an asay component, is to know why you're avoiding them, or you know the avoidance of them is so, you know, significant, or the possibility of violating them is so heinous and horrendous from a spiritual point of view, you know, that, you know, the taking steps to avoid it, you know, or, you know, working on avoiding it, or abstaining, you know, in a kumva se sheval tasa way, that this is part of Avodas Hashem, part of Yiras Hashem and part of Avas Hashem. The Ramban has a famous comment in Perush Al HaTorah in Parshas Yisro, where he says that the reason that Aseh is Dochalos Aseh is because Lavin, you know, flow or stem from Yiras Shamayim, and that, you know, Essen, you know, are about Avas Hashem. And I've spoken about this in the past, and some of the people are here, and that is that, you know, the whole relationship between Essen and Lavin is a fascinating question. Because, again, Aseh Dochalos Aseh implies that, you know, that the Ava part, you know, overrides the Yira part. But, you know, can't be that, you know, in, that can't be the entire or narrow story, because, again, we pay a much bigger price for violating Lavin than we do for ignoring Essen. And it's even clear, just the phenomenology, just when you think about it, is clear. I mean, the things that have Lavin are because they're more spiritually contaminated, right? So obviously, in some level, the Lavin are more important than the Essen, and yet we say Aseh Dochalos Aseh. But the answer is very clear, and that is that, you know, the more core, you know, and the more minimum is the Lavin, you know. But you know, within Shmiras HaMitzvos, that's kept the, you know, if you're doing triage as an insider, if you will, in other words, you are committed fully to the Lavin. Right, and now you're just confronted with an anomalous situation in which you can only focus on one. You know, so it's not a question of merit. It's not a question of, you know, choosing, you know, an Abba expression over a Yira one per se. It's you want to do everything, but the Torah understands that sometimes there's a triage, you know, that has to take place. So then we say, as an insider, often that Aseh Docha, you know, Los Aseh. But the point is that the so this question of, you know, having institutions in the halacha that have an Aseh and a Lav, you know, or even the much more complicated case, which is what we're talking about, which is Lav Abom B'Chalal Aseh, you know, and when we say Lav Abom B'Chalal Aseh is an Aseh, even though it's a reinforcement of a Lav, so the possibility, basically, what we're saying is, we're not talking about, again, choosing one over the other in these cases. But what we're really saying is that, you know, in addition to making sure that you don't, maybe the making sure is a key, or maybe the abstention is a key, or maybe understanding why you're avoiding it is a key. And those are very important things to understand. Halachically, of course, you know, in terms of accuracy and Dvar Hashem, halachically, in terms of behavior, and also understanding the system. But on the next level, even hashkafically. So, for example, we're talking about kashrus. So what we're really saying is that to be properly, you know, observant of kashrus,
And this, I think, what Shai was asking the other day, too, right? A little bit. Was it your comment?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be properly, observant of kashrus, the minimum is to make sure that you don't eat things that you're not supposed to eat, or to not do things that you're not supposed to do, if you're talking about other areas of halacha. But in addition to that, what we're seeing is that being cognizant, like being, an intentional, avoider, or a knowledgeable avoider, I mean, that cognizance alone, the commitment to that is a much, more demanding, but it's also a much more satisfying way of doing things. I gave you the example of Tosas and Shavuos about, Shvisa b'Shabbos and, sleeping away the day. So, again, you don't have to say L'shem Yichud Kutshu before you take a nap, or before you pass, away from the wafting, tempting smells of the treifa, bakery, but in some level, being a knowledgeable kosher consumer, there's a kiyum in the knowledge, and in the conscious decision to do that. So these are really what we're talking about. We're talking about this in simane kashrus, and avoidance of those lavin, and we're talking about it in shechita. And of course, it applies throughout the halacha on different things. Yeah.
Does it have any relevance to the broader question of like mitzvahs tzrichas kavana or lav tzrichas kavana? Like, is that
A little bit? I think it does.
In general, like the kavana would be different, but
I think the Ramban says this a bunch of places, certainly instinctively true. The Ramban says even if you paskin, I'll say two things. Even if you paskin, mitzvah saint srichas kavana, everybody will agree that lechatchila, that mitzvah srichas kavana. And then just to add something else, which maybe we'll talk about when we talk about the Yom Rosh Hashanah a little closer to Rosh Hashanah, but, there is a strong view implicit in the Rishonim and articulated by a lot of Achronim, including the Netziv and others, and that is that when you hold, even the Mandamar holds mitzvah ain't srichas kavana, it's kind of because he thinks somehow like doing the mitzvah, is implicitly, is gorer, the kavana with it. So it's not so much that you don't need it as that you have it, through the fulfillment. Now, nafkamina might be, let's say, you have kavana, what if you have kavana lo matzeis, things like that. So I do think, 100%, I think, again, also it should be aware that mitzvah shrichas kavana technically is about kavana latzeis. Not necessarily like an awareness of, and I don't mean tamei mitzvos here in general. I just mean, understanding what this is, and it's broad, its most core basic, purpose and meaning and where it is and what it is. So, right. I mean, this is a big issue, like in Kriya Shema and Tefillah, and so on. Are we just talking about kavana latzeis in these things? Or are we talking about kavana samilin, kavana amida lifnei Hashem? So it's a fascinating topic, the different levels of kavana, and of cognizance and awareness, but not being misasek. Even if you think that misasek is a maisa, or maybe if you decide, or if we determine that misasek is not a maisa, maybe part of that is because of the idea that, to halachically do something properly, there does need to be an awareness or a cognizance of it. So I think this really just changed the picture of how we look at all these questions. And again, we're not trying to, subtle everybody to death, but to really, there's no question that, to understand the Rambam and to understand other, Mefarshim and so on and so forth, that you need to make distinctions along these lines. So that's what we've been doing. Okay. So having said that, let me just add a couple of points quickly. If I get a chance, maybe I'll just sum up what some of the Nozbe Kalim actually say, but I'll leave that for another time. For right now, I don't want to get into that, but let me just talk for a minute about just to finish up what we have been doing. So basically what I was just suggesting was that instead of just saying everything is a lavabo meklal aseh, and then either you count them, which people accuse the Rambam of, or you don't, the Ravid and the Ramban and the Bahag and so on and so forth. Right? So I'm suggesting that there is a variety of lava b'maklal aseis, or maybe some people wouldn't even call it that, right? That sometimes it's exactly like an asein in alav. It isn't exactly like an asein in alav, because when it's something's like an asein in alav, you can make the argument, you know, that your act, your asay, you know, is also something like, you know, shvisa b'shabbos or tzom, you know, for Yom Kippur. You don't have that, and no one's saying that if you're ochel, you know, of kosher meat, you know, that you are, you know, therefore, you know, fulfilling an asay. That we certainly don't think. But what I'm saying is, it's not, you know, it's a skip and a jump, you know, from understanding why asay and laban aren't just, you know, reinforcements in many cases, and that the same, you know, you could be not doing it and abstaining from it, and that those are two different dimensions of it, and saying that even when there's no way to do the act or to do the kiyum, you know, that the, as I said, the intentional avoidance or the awareness that's connected to the avoidance and so on and so forth is itself a kind of a kiyum in the abstention part of it. And that's kind of what we're talking about. Or if we're talking about shmira, again, we'll talk more about that. But, you know, there are isurim that you avoid, and then there's sometimes the Torah says that you should be, you know, you have a chi of shmira, you know, mishmeres trubosai. Again, we'll get to this Ramban, you know, it's right here in Kulin, that base of the base, which we'll get to, I hope, soon. But Ramban has a very famous comment where he says that, you know, when the Torah uses the language of shmira, this is a breakthrough Ramban, in my opinion, that whenever the Torah uses the language of Shmira, it changes the way that we look at Safek. Because the idea of being Shomer something, Shmira, is not to reach the point of Safek. Not to rely on the regular Klalei Hakra. But what that really, really, really means is, meaning the idea behind it is, like there are certain things, again, that the Torah is saying to you, like don't even get close to that. You know, or your awareness, and again, your commitment to it should be such that you take steps, just like anything that you cherish, right? If you cherish material goods, you're not going to, you know, leave it, you know, on your front porch and rely on, you know, the goodness of man. You might do that, you know, for your tricycle, but you're not going to do that for your diamond ring, right? Because you don't want to take the risk, right? You know, like Chazal say, you know, Siag LaTorah is a function of, you know, How valuable is it, and what, you know, what's the risk level that you are comfortable with? Right. So what we're saying is, when the Torah says mishmeras trumosai, or, you know, other things that have to do with shmira, what we're saying is, you know, the risk level, you know, has to be much less, because what's at stake spiritually is much greater. So what I'm saying is that's an approach to this halacha, even if there isn't a kiyum. Right, that posture says something about how you're looking at this spiritual opportunity, or if you want to say it the other way, you know, the spiritual disaster, you know, that awaits you, you know, if you're not careful about it. So that's what we mean about, you know, extra avoidance on the shmira level, or abstention, etc. And these are various things that we are talking about. In some cases, it could express itself in yediyah, or not being just a knowledgeable halakhic consumer, right? Or in actual actions that you need to take, like in the case of simanim, bedika. So it's fascinating here. I'm going to, again, if I have a chance, I'll just go into the language. But if you look carefully at the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos and Perek Aleph, Hilchos Machalos Asuros, and Perek Beis, Hilchos Machalos Asuros in the beginning, and all the discussions of the, you know, Nosei Kalim, and then the Mefarshim in Shorish Vav, you know, responding to, you know, the attack of the Ramban, you know, defending the Rambam, etc. As we've already seen in that Radbaz, we have like a range of things that were said. Right? You know, you have that Radbaz who's saying, you know, you have to know Hilchos Kashrus, and then he said, nah, probably not. You know, and you have a whole bunch of Mefarshim who are saying that the Rambam really meant, and it sounds that way in many of the Rambams, that, you know, you have to do bidikas hasimanim, right? There are, within that, there's a fascinating debate. So let's say you don't do bidikas simanim, if that's what the Rambam had in mind, and you don't violate. Okay? The OU saved you, or whatever, right? or Hashgacha saved you. Right? So you didn't eat non-kosher meat, but you weren't careful. You went into the restaurant, you had a great meal, and you found out afterwards, you know, that it was a kosher meal. Right? Do you violate... So that's different views in the Mefarshim on the Rambam. Some of them say, even though you ate kosher, you know, by putting it up to chance, by not doing the bedika, right, you violated the Isur Aseh of it. That's an amazing thing. And others say no. So the ones who say no, you know, again, it's starker, it's clearer, you know, to say that, because then we know, oh, that's exactly what we mean. You should do the bedika. It's a chiyu bedika. No, you still have to ask yourself, well, why should you do the bedika? Like, what's the point? You know, especially if it didn't end up, you know, causing. That's the things that we've been saying. You know. But let's say idafka requires that you violate an order. So then, is it still viable? Is it still compelling to say, you know, that the mechayev was the lack of bedika? The answer is yes. Meaning, you know, maybe. You know, if the lack of bedika doesn't, you know, generate an avera, you know, so it's insufficient, you know, legally to be considered that you violate the aseh. But the point is that it isn't, when we talk about lav abba b'chlal aseh, what we're really saying is number one is a lav, you know, a maisa avera, you know, that we're talking about. And the other one is, you know, the casual posture, you know, that led you to this, that in its own right. So it could be, even if you were to take, what I'm saying is that, again, getting back to like our Absadjagon, Bahag, Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo discussion, you could take the view that the only way to justify, you know, counting these things separately is if you have enough gemina. Certainly if you have enough gemina, it proves it and it accentuates it. But I'm totally comfortable, even with the views that say that there's no nafka mina, you know, as long as our two mechayvim that we can appreciate and understand. And that, I think, it breaks down. If you look at the different mefarshim, again, the suggestion of Daniel Bavli, the suggestion of Rambam and Rambam. And again, look at the Megillas Esther and the, what is it, Leib Sameach and the Kinnas. So the classical, the perushim that they printed on Sefer Mitzvos, and then many also in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, Hilchos Machalas Asuros, you'll see that there are different nuances and different views, you know, where or why to draw this particular line. To me, those are details. The broader idea of you know, the Mechayev being a different Mechayev is something which is very compelling and very very critical and important. The same thing I think is true with the question of Rambam and Rambam's suggestion and solution, which I don't believe in the Rambam, but Nata was telling me that he saw somewhere that when again Gimel Yotes, right? That maybe the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Machala Shechita Halacha Yotes, maybe he is you know, trying to kind of address and exclude that idea. So what I would say, as I've said in the past, sometimes when the Rambam excludes an idea, it's not because it's totally wrong; it's because it's practically wrong. But there's something, you know, kind of half right about it. Just like I was saying about, you know, the bracha not being ma'akev. The bracha is not ma'akev, but here there's a reason why you might think it would. So even if we don't accept Rav Ramban Rambam's pshat, you know, it's worth, maybe the Rambam himself didn't accept it. I don't think that's what the Rambam meant. But when you think about what the idea, what's the idea behind it? Why does it matter whether you have an avela because it's an avela or an avela because you messed up the shechita? Why should, the answer is, it's exactly what we've been talking about. Because if shechita is more than just being motzi midei nevela, it's the recognition of, you know, kedushas Yisrael in meat eating and everything that goes with it, and being osek or embracing, you know, the requirement of shechita and so on. So that makes a lot of sense. So again, whether it's the idea of knowing the halachos, the Radbaz, even in Radbaz says in the end he doesn't like it because, you know, it creates a discrepancy between Shechita and Simanei Kashrus. Number one, I'm not disturbed by that at all. I'm totally okay with Simanei Kashrus being, you know, I think there's a different kiyumim. You know, what the, you know, that Shechita being more about Shechita and Simanei Kashrus being more about the broader you know, the Havdil idea of the Chetzes. But as we'll see, Yediyas Hilchos Shechita is also considered a value. And the question is whether that's only for pragmatic reasons, because Shechita as an institution is so important. I mean, our meat supply depends on it. So, you know, people better know. Or whether or not, again, there isn't some sort of also additional element of understanding that this is something that immerses you in it. You know, maybe you should take a year and, you know, or at least the beginning of the year, and like learn the beginning of Cholet. Yeah. Okay, so whether it's that or it's the Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla's own suggestion, you know, which is, oh, the Shochet has extra responsibility. You know, even if he's not eating it, he's violating, you know, the assay. So, I don't buy that. He doesn't say it for the Rambam. That he says for you know, Reb Sadjagon. Again, all these suggestions are interesting, and they're made by great people, so they're always worth investigating and especially breaking down. And sometimes they're also compelling. But even when they're not compelling, they're interesting. I don't. Reb Sadjagon, what he really says in these texts is so almost indecipherable. You know, all you can do is speculate. But it's, you know, if it's Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo's speculation, then it's intelligent speculation coming from a, you know, an extremely you know, great halachic thinker. So, in the end of the day, I don't believe that's what Reb Sadjagon means. I certainly don't think that Rambam believes that. But like, how could such a thing even be possible that the shochet would have, you know, an assay, and you know, even though he's not eating it, you know, he would buy it. It's not lifnevel isitem mikshel. It's again this exact idea. This idea that Shechita is an institution of import, and that somebody who's involved in it and what it accomplishes has extra responsibility, you know, not just not to be machio, but to do it properly and to do it, you know, with a certain yiras hakabod. And if you don't, you know, if you're just casual about it, then you know, that obviously is, from a system point of view, from the totality of the system, that the lack of Yiras Shamayim and so on and so forth. But the point is that it's something more specific to Shechita, which apparently lends itself, you know, to something like that as well. Okay, so that is the general idea that we've been pursuing. Having said that, just let me add one or two quick points connected to that. Oh. So it's interesting, just this is, again, very quickly, because I don't want to get involved in this for sure, but all the discussions of Lava Baba Chlala says Shorish Vav, you know, what the Ramban did in Shorish Vav was quite fascinating. He integrated his, you know, larger discussion of Lava Baba Chlala say, right, with a specific attack on the Rambam on Ribbis. Okay, now on the surface, you know, Ma'inyan Ribbis, it's all the rest of it. Of course, the common denominator on the surface, you know, is clear, but, and that is simply that all the Mefarshim, you know, the Ravid and the Ramban, you know, pretty much everybody, the Rambach, you know, said that the Rambam made a mistake, you know, in counting Lanochri Tashich, right? Because all that the Pasuk means, it says, you know, is that it's a Lava Baba Kalal Aseh. So, A, there's no assay to dafka charge a non-Jew ribbis. Like, how could that be? And B, it shouldn't be counted anyway, because it's a lava baba klal assay. So that's why they're talking about it here, and so on. But in my opinion, it's just a great, confluence, because when you think about it, you know, what does the Rambam really have in mind? Right, I mean, I think it's clear what he had in mind, and it's not so different from what Ramban himself believes and formulates in his Perush Al HaTorah. But again, the mechanism that the Rambam felt Chazal used to express this reinforces what we've been saying about, you know, using mitzvos in their forms, etc., right, to convey subtle information about the halachic system that is very important. Okay. That was very abstract, so what do I mean by that? The Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah, as is well known, you know, says, why is it that Jews are not allowed to lend to each other meridus, but there's no such prohibition to non-Jews. Says the Ramban, is this a form of discrimination? Right? Discrimination is a bad thing. Even though there's, you know, differences between Jews and B'nai Noach, you know, but, you know, if usury, we'll call it, you know, interest charging is really a bad thing, so, you know, why would we not want to protect non-Jews? After all, we believe that Gezalakum is Asur and probably Asur Medaraisa, you know, and some people even think, you know, that it goes beyond that, the question about Oshek and other things. Says the Ramban, his Perush Al HaTorah, that your perspective is wrong, you know, or perspective of the question is wrong. And that is that the prohibition to charge a fellow Jew, ribis, that's the chiddush. That's a lifnim mishuras hadin. And that's a function of achicha. You know, in other words, you don't have to get rich on the back of your family members. And everybody understands, I'm elaborating obviously, that you know, access to capital is a financial advantage, and that, you know, it's a legitimate, if it's your money, then you have a right to spend it, for sure. You also have a right, you know, to turn it into a commodity, meaning the fact that you are flush with capital, and that, you know, business, you know, from the beginning, but especially once, you know, people were more mobile, you know, that, you know, having access to credit and to capital, you know, is what greases, I guess, you know, financial success. Because, like, a big, it sounds like you have experience. Okay, we'll talk later. So the Ramban says, you know, per se, there's nothing wrong with, what is it, leveraging, I guess, you know, your financial, you know, advantage, you know, to increase your financial advantage, right? So, but it's a special din that, you know, again, for family members, you know, we can be lifnim mishuras hadin, but that doesn't apply to non-family members. It's not discrimination. That's Ramban's view, and it's a very important view about Shemitas Ksafim, about ribbis. What is the Rambam's view? I think that the Rambam held exactly the same way. He just took it a step further. The Rambam said the following. If you are going to extend the same generosity, you know, to a non-family member as you do to a family member, right, then what you've done is you've, you know, negated, or, you know, you've neutralized the family significance of this. In other words, if it was wrong, then it would be wrong across the board. You know, but by extending it to everyone, you know, you're implying that it's the reason that you're not extending British loans to your fellow Jew is because it's immoral. Moreover, by extending to non-family members, right, you're basically saying that you don't differentiate between family and non-family. You lose the opportunity to make an important point about your extra responsibility within the concentric circles of your relationships. And consequently, it's an iser aseh to lend money to. You're not trying to inflict pain on the non-Jew, but this is a way of securing a very unique mechanism of expressing achva to members of Klal Yisrael. The truth is that the Rashi, you know, says something similar, or similar talk, with regard to Matanos Levyonim. Rashi was asked, you know, when it comes to Matanos Levyonim, could you fulfill the mitzvah by giving to non-Jews? And he said, absolutely not. And again, it wasn't discriminatory. He was trying to say, this is a very unique expression of achva, and the sense of, you know, common destiny. If you universalize it too much, then you destroy its real meaning and significance. So the point I want to make is, just one more second, is that Rambam here, you know, was basically saying minyan mitzvos is a mechanism that sometimes needs to be understood in a more, you know, subtle way. So the mitzvah isn't, you know, to take exploit your advantage over a non-Jew, you know, capitalize. The mitzvah really is by only, you know, refraining, you know, from interest loans, you know, among your fellow co-religionists. In other words, by making the distinction, that is a kiyum in the din of ribbis. In a way, it's almost like a lava b'maklal aseh. It's almost like the kiyum side. The problem is that it sounds in the Gemara a little like it's a lava b'maklal aseh. That's one of the rayas that they all bring. Either way, the Rambam needs to read the Gemaras in Bamitzia, right? But in a way, it really is. It's the lava b'maklal aseh that the Rambam, when he counts, is familiar with. Namely, it may look one way, but really it is a kiyum in something else. So I actually think that even though it's strange juxtaposition, like it's like totally different topic, it's not a totally different topic. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just
when
Rambam's lashon said on this, it sounds like he really is saying that we are trying to. He says,
right, okay. I'm just saying.
It sounds like you are trying to inflict harm.
I don't think you're trying to inflict harm. I think what he's saying is, you know, that you're supposed to press your economic advantage here, because by not doing so, you are kind of neutralizing what that is. I don't think it means you're supposed to hurt him. It just means don't give him a break.
What?
I mean,
he said that.
Well,
he's okay. He's a low nazar, low avon is okay.
I don't know whether that's in, you're reading the language and where? Which one? Maybe I have to look at the Nazi Kehu, but we have to look at the language. But I'm just saying, I think if that's what is consistent with what he means. I don't think there's no other Rambam anywhere that implies that there's benefit in being Mazik, non-Jew. But there are plenty of Rambams, also in this Kemamon and so on, which imply that how you apply, you know, parallel dinim to Jews and to non-Jews reflects on, you know, the special relationship that you have with Jews. The word nazikehu, you know, I would agree is, a problematic word. You have to see what exactly, you know, its other maybe translations are. But I don't think he meant that that's the Bechayev. I think what he meant was that this is a way of establishing, you know, it's a kiyum in what you're doing for your Jewish neighbor. The same thing is true about Shemitah's Ksavim. The Ram has the same, it's not mazik when you're collecting a loan, right? What's the language that he uses there? It's the same thing, because he has the same din, right? The Ram also counts collecting loans during the Shemitah year, Lenochri Tasha or something like that. Does he use the language of the Mazikeo there? No? Yeah. Okay, so there it is. I mean, though you ghost, but you ghost is, pressure. It's the same, whatever I said about one, I'm saying about the other. I think that's the Ram Lashitasa. That's the same problem that they ask. Meaning,
yeah, I mean, there, I think it's much more clear that it really.
Yeah, I understand. But I think it's the same. It's the same pattern. And all the Mepharshim speak about it together as well. So I agree. The language of Nazikeu is whatever. I just think, you know, it's as compelling. This is what he's saying. Okay. So let's only just one other point on this very quickly before we move back to other things. And that is, of course, that. Whatever we talked about of Simane Kashrus and Shechita and so on, the approach that we are taking, just to mention again that the Rambam discusses all these topics in Sefer Kedusha. Right. Sefer Kedusha consists of three parts: Isurei Bia, right, Macholos Asuros, and Shechita. So it implies that the Rambam thinks that the halacha, the motivation behind all of this is to promote Kedusha. But of course, this is the case. Isure Bia starts off with all the Chamor Isurim, Kares and Skila, and starts off very, very harshly, as you would imagine. But just let's also remember, and this is relevant to the Nusach HaBracha question that we're going to come up for Birchas Shechita in a second too, and that is that when you make the Birchas Eirusin, what you begin with is Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Al Ho'arayos. And essentially that's, you already saw the rush, you know, that's the question. You know, you're about to get married, why are you saying V'tzivanu Al Ho'arayos? Right? But Sefer Kedusha begins with V'tzivanu Al Ho'arayos. That's what the beginning of Hilchos Yisurei Bia is all about. And of course the real explanation is that, you know, what you are not allowed to do, right, is about standards which dictate, you know, that what you are allowed to do in the era, in this area of human activity must be and can be a davar shebikdusha. Right? So it's Vitzivanu al Arayos is a keel. That's what the bracha is all about. And that's the beginning words of Sefer Kedusha are about what you're not allowed to do. It's an investment in standards and in raising the standards of Kedusha. Then comes Macholos Asuros, which begins exactly with, you know, Simane Kashrus, the relationship between the Aseh and the Lav that is so controversial. Everything we've been discussing about Shorish Vav and so on and so forth. Right? Oh, so if the now, there's no question that the emphasis in the Rambam at the end of the day also is about Yediyas HaSimanim, Havdalas HaSimanim, all those things. Again, you could argue whether they constitute in their own right, you know, a basis for the Aseh when there's no violation of the actual Akhila, you know, or not. I prefer actually that they don't. But yeah. Although, again, it's much easier if they do, isolate it. But it doesn't matter to me, as I say. I think it's equally the case. But again, the Rama begins with all that because that is really, again, an investment in the first one is about, you know, physical, you know, marital and so on relationships, a very important aspect of human existence. The second is an equally important aspect of human existence, right? And that's food consumption, right? Just see... And then the third is Hilchos Shechita, which begins very clearly with the discussion of the Aseh and, you know, the fact that it's a certain kind of a matir. The language in the beginning echoes, in a way, the beginning of Hilchos Kiddushin, as we discussed, Hilchos Ishos, you know, Kasher, Yirtzeh, etc. And that's really what we are discussing. And one of the things that we'll see in a minute is that the Rush and some others, you know, when the Rush wanted to say, like, you know, why do you say Asher Kedushan Tzav Tzivanu Al Arayos in the beginning of Hilchos Eirusin? It's fascinating that he said, well, you don't say in the beginning of Birchas Shechita Asher Kedushan Tzav Tzivanu Al Iser Avram Ben Achai, do you? Okay. But that's an interesting, like, is that the first thing that you think of? And it isn't so bad when you think about it. And obviously we've been making the case already, are continuing to make the case that the relationship between Avraham and Achai and the Vela and we'll soon see Trefa and, you know, the flip side of Shechita, that's a bit more complicated than people think. And that's what we've been trying to study. So all these are expressions of Sefer Kedusha. Oh. Having said all of that, could you be Mechalek? Absolutely. Now the Ravid, when it comes to the, you know, Simane, Kashrus, and so on, you know, in the Minyan HaKatzar, has the same comment that he has about Shechita. Namely, like, you know, the Rambam shouldn't be counting this, it's a Lav Bo Machal Aseh. You know, thank you very much. What is that, Kuf Mem Tes? You have that? Sorry? Is it Kuf Mem Tes? Sounds right. Yeah. So as I say, that's very consistent. That's the right. And the Ramban, we already know, he rails against this. I mean, the Ramban has, you know, things to substitute for it. You know, that's where he gets his space, you know, from. The Sefer HaChinuch, interestingly enough, in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel, says that he agrees with the Ramban on this topic. What did I say? Kuf Nun Gimel, right? Yeah. He says, listen, I wrote my book, you know, according to the pattern of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, but, and he often says this, you know, my heart is with the Ramban. We don't know who wrote exactly the but we think it used to be thought that it was the Ra'ah, big comment of the Ramban. Now it's mostly thought that it was maybe his brother, or Pinchas, but you know, somebody from Barcelona. But for, you know, for the Talmidim of the Ramban. So he often says that. But he says here, on this one, Shemitzavenu Livdok Simani Behema Vachaya, Hinali Lochasachti Iti, with an ayin, meaning my pen, right, was not spared. Miktov, Dibra Haramam Zacharna Lebracha, Bekan, Shechashav Amikra Zad Mitzvah Saseh, Mipnei Sheyaadati Barosh, right, Devarai, Lichtov Amitzvah Saseh V'Shechashavam, who? Right, that was his deal with the publisher, or, you know, with his conscience, or whatever it was, or maybe his son. In a Yos Libi Nechaz Be'in El Zeb, as far as Ramban Zachar El Bracha, even though I wasn't joking. My heart's with Ramban. Shekosat She'ein Roy, She'nimne Bedika Simani Tahara, Be'Behemo Mitzvah. Ki Be'met, Achar She'asur Lanu Torah Ketasa Be'Hemos, Al Kopani Mitzchai, Be'hodianu Simani Ataharos, Va'afrishenu, V'nei Yisr, Ve'in Zer Roy, Klal, Le'ikashu, Be'Kedra, Mitzvah, So it's very clear that he holds his sympathies are with the Ramban. He also thinks that Yediyas Simanim is just a pragmatic thing. Right? There's no need to be bodek per se, you know, other than facilitating that you're not going to eat this non-kosher stuff. Okay, but what's fascinating, and the Mechon Yerushalayim edition, they make note of it as well, that when you look at the Sefer Chinuch, what is it, Taf Nun Tes? On Mitzvahs Shechita, you have no such qualification. Right, on the contrary, the Chinuch is an enthusiastic counter of Shechita. Right? So while the Ravid and Ramban's in his advocacy of the Bahag is telling you that Shechita and Simane Kashrus are one and the same, right? The Ramban himself, as we already discussed, doesn't take it out. Even in Shorish Vav, he doesn't mention it. He only mentions it in his defense of the Bahag. Even then, when he mentions it in defense of the Bahag, he kind of emphasizes for the Bahag. And as we know, as we said already, you know, both in Re'eh, in Bereishis, in Noach, in Achrimos, etc., you know, the Ramban is a person who embraces Birchas Hashem. So both the Chinuch and the Ramban clearly understood, and good, the truth is that the argument, you know, of Lava B'Mechlal Aseh when it comes to Simani Kashrus is far stronger than Shechita, just because there's something to do, at least, in Shechita, you know. In the end of the day, when it comes to Simani Kashrus, if you don't make the emphasis on the Bedika, you know, or the Yediya, or something like that, in the end of the day, like, in terms of a Pu'ula, you know, it's pretty subtle. I'm saying, so what? It's, you know, attitudinal. It's there are other things involved. I'm comfortable with that. But I can totally understand that if you're looking for something more concrete, you know, that you would be saying, well, Is achilas, you know, davar kasher a kiyum, you know, or does it do anything, right? And you're still going to be short on that one. But that's not true when it comes to shechita. So it is true that it's not a chiyuv, you know, and it may even be true that it isn't the kiyum. That's the second. It may be a chiyuv, you know, kishin yirtza, like a mishnah and others, you know, it might be a kiyum, but lav dafka. What I'm saying is, even if it's a matir, right, it's still not the kind of lava b'mechlal aseh. It's still an action that you do that has its own laws. It's a prerequisite for achila. So it's still very different than simani abehema. So it's understandable that the Ramban, more implicitly, and the Chinuch, almost explicitly, make this distinction. Okay, but either way, that is something that we should be aware of. Okay, there's a question? Are we good? We're good. Good? Okay, good. So, okay, good. So what's the next thing that we need to talk about very quickly? Okay, Rav Sajigo. So Rav Sajigon's discussion about the mitzvah seif shkita we discussed already, I do want to make a quick reference to his other discussion, and that is about the mitzvah of basar taiva. So he has two perspectives on that, and it's a little bit connected with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva that we still have to do, but just to get them on the record. So he has two views. One is that what the Rav Sajigon had in mind was the only time you're allowed to eat basar is in a state of taiva, which basically means it's based on the Gemara in Chulin on Pedalet, which we've seen, but taking it literally, because Gemara there says that is minag derech eretz Akiva, right? So typically when something is derech eretz, Gemara says something is derech eretz, what would you think in terms of how binding is that? I mean, morally binding, but right, not, you wouldn't call that a lot. You wouldn't call that a chiyuv for a din or a halacha. So in the commentary that he has there, he goes out of his way to show that there are other cases in Shas or in Medrash where the phrase minag derech eretz is used, and it has halachic import. The examples are not relevant for the moment. But basically, his idea is that the heter, basar taiva, right, is limited to some sort of urgency. It reminds us a little bit of, Parshas Kitetze, lo dibra Torah keneged yetzer hara, which means that, you can do it, but not necessarily the best. This is like a question, based on understanding Bereshis and Noach and the transition and everything else, like is vegetarianism, is avoidance of meat really a better way? And it's an interesting question. Right? So certainly in the world of Kadshim and Achilas Bailim, and when it comes to Simchas, Yom Tov, in Simcha L'Bavasa B'Yayin, it would appear that the Lechatchila is, includes a basa. But one could argue, still, that that's only true in the context of Karbanos. And for the reasons that we're, discussing more acutely, though, meaning it's in the context of a korban. We even said that maybe the Ramban thinks that the korban of Noach was part of the change, to begin with. At least his comments in Achrimos. So it's an interesting question. Again, there's a line in the Kli Yakar, which is different than the other Kli Yakar, but the Kli Yakar in Parshas Re'eh, I think I mentioned this already, it says ki yirchak mimcha derech or ki yarchiv mimcha makom or whatever it is, both, his drasha is, I guess, if you're feeling, distant from the mikdash, or it's a function of your, not feeling, the proximity of the mikdash, that you want to eat basar taiva. There's a kind of a, an implied criticism. Or implied b'di'evet. And then he goes on to say, and that's why in the Torah, whenever there's achilas basar taiva, we always find that there's tircha involved, because they kind of want to, they want to slow you down, or make you work for it, or make sure you really want it, badly enough. He doesn't make the comparison, to dibra Torah keneged yegetz or haran. That's obviously a much more acute case, the problem of ifas toar. But the language is not so different, frankly. That's an interesting thing. There, as I say, there's this whole discussion, I'm not going to get to it now, but, legitimate discussion, about whether, as I say, vegetarianism or avoiding meat or being mamait meat, is somehow a, you know, frommer way of life, you know, or not. And there definitely are two views on the matter. So this view of, from this perspective on what Msajigon meant, or that Kliyak, or et cetera, you know, should be, you know, they, in Rav Kook's Siddur, you know, Olas Re'iyah, is a very controversial comment in which he says that, you know, La'asid Lavo is a diuk, but based on diuk in the Lashon HaTvila, you know, he wants to suggest that, you know, La'asid Lavo, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, that there'll be menachos and not zvachet. You know, because a vegetarian way of life will be a superior spiritual way to live. It's very controversial because, you know, it's very mefurash in the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim, you know, that karbanos, and he means not just menachos, clearly also zvachim, are part of, you know, what we, you know, what we yearn to restore. And again, you know, all the evidence seems to be in that direction. But it's an interesting discussion, please. Yeah.
Is the Derech Eretz of the Gemara necessarily about eating meat per se, as opposed to like being a vegetarian? Because when I read it, it sounded more.
Or is it more about like waiting till you go to the Beis HaMikdash and not waiting?
I thought it was about being like money conscious, like you shouldn't waste your money. They had the line in there about Mishiyesh lo money yikach l'pasa litra yarek. Sorry, money yikach l'pasa litra.
I thought it's more like, you know.
Is that the Gemara giving a hierarchy of what the best food to eat is, or it's just like, you know, live within your means?
I thought it was also connected, like it's like a Vayishman Yeshurun, you know, Vayivat, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, these things don't come up unless you have a little too much time on your hands, a little too much money in your pocket, you know, a little bit too much, you know, exposure to, you know, to agendas that are not that are not. You know, Torah acceptable. That's what I understood it to be, which I think it is. I don't think it's money per se. Okay. Anyway, that's an interesting phenomenon and something to think about. We could talk about it another time, more detail. The second one, though, is the opposite, which I think is a good bookend. He says, or inami, you know, what Rav Sajigon has in mind is that, you know, there's no shouldn't be any reservation or reticence about eating Basa Taiba. And even quotes the Yerushalmi, you know, and he even wonders, you know, is how different it is from what Chazal say about Nazir, that, you know, Nazir brings a Kapar Chatas, because he's, you know, Nazir Kapar, that he, you know, should see or asatz moment ayayin. So he says, it's not exactly that, because there, number one, even though he took a neder, he's a chote, and it's because he's tzir asatzmo, so, you know, that's a different madrega. But the Yerushalmi idea that you're held accountable for the hanos ba'olam hazeh that are permissible that you don't actually experience, ki'il, that's a good thing, and you know it's part of va'aretz nasan levenei adam. It isn't just a heter, but that it's a chiyuv is something. So I thought that was fascinating. Katzel. Again, it shouldn't be overstated, just like the first one shouldn't be overstated, because we do have, you know, kiyum and the kiyum of basar, you know, on Yom Tov, etc. Again, and korbanos and bizman hazeh, in terms of simchas Yom Tov, you know, there isn't korbanos. But and the same thing in the other direction. No one thinks that means you should be zolel v'sovei, or violate Ramban's understanding of kedoshim kiyu al tihina bal brishis haTorah. But what they mean is that, you know, you don't have to, you know, be ascetic either. Part of not being ascetic is, legitimately partaking in basar, and on the contrary, like focusing and not doing that is kind of like a bit of a zilzal, you know, for the opportunities that the Rabbanu Shalom is giving. So either way, I just think it's two fascinating perspectives. I don't think it's, you know, Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch's Alps comment quite exactly, which is, you know, that people, you know, will answer for not appreciating the glory of the Bria, and therefore they should, you know, take advantage of, you know, Hashemayim, Shemayim Hashem, or, you know, Hashemayim Sapim Kavod Kel, Maisa Yadav Magin Rakia, like the Rambam says, that part of, it's a Kiyum and Avas Hashem to appreciate the Rabbanu Shalom's Brios, meaning the intricacy of it, but also just the awe and the aesthetic, you know, component as well. I don't think that's what we're saying here exactly, but it is an interesting, and we will touch on this question again once we start straight, because we're going to talk about the Gemara in the first Amud talks about, the chatkila value of Nadarim. We'll talk about that, kilo, Ose Bama, that whole question. So it comes up again. Yeah.
The idea I kind of got, at least from the second one, if not the first, was that being Mitzar yourself actually ends up leading to boiled up suppression.
That could be a pragmatic element too. I don't think that's what Yerushalmi says, though.
I mean, it's hard to know with Yerushalmi in general.
Yeah, Yerushalmi seems to say that, you're given this opportunity, or Ribono Shel Olam gave you a gift, so don't look a gift horse, Don't.
Eating din b'cheshbon, it's a very strong.
Right. I mean, what you're saying is something else, and that is, which I think is true, and that is that, that's kind of what I call border with a yohara, which is that, sometimes when you, Ben, what's wrong with a yohara? I've said this in the past, but I just really believe it, and most people don't say this, or I don't think, or don't know what it is. Some chumras are very, very good, and some chumras are very not good. A yohara obviously is not, and what's wrong with a yohara? But I think it is the idea behind Yorah is the idea that if you're not, if a certain chumrah, is not relevant to your lifestyle, or that's not proportionate to who you are, then at the end of the day, it ends up being a bad thing to do. Number one, it, the congratulations, your self-congratulations, for this Chumra Yisera, which is not so correspondent to your lifestyle, usually either masks or generates, other deficiencies. You're convinced of your religious superiority, and it, it distracts you from things that are much more core and basic. So I do think that there's an element of that, certainly, in this idea, but I don't think that that's the main focus. Okay, let's go on. I don't want to spend too much time on that. Okay, so let's now talk about Tosfos and Shavuos. Yeah. So before we get to Tosfos and I guess we'll talk about Tosfos and Shavuos. Okay, so Tosfos and Shavuos also addresses this question. Right? What's the context of Tosfos and Shavuos? Akiva? The one on Chabdalid or any of its parallels? You didn't see it? Evan?
Ah!
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Ochen Levela B'Yom HaKippurim is Patur. Why?
Probably you're getting.
Say again?
You're getting punished already, so you're not going to get like.
Yeah, what do we call that? Excellent. I mean, it's an example of Enis HaKalalis. So, Ocha Levela B'Yom HaKippurim, since it's already Nevela, right? So, the Yom Kippur, which is more Chomor, right, is not going to be Chal. That's a question. What about Isur Kola? What about Isur Mosik? That's part of the story. What about Isur B'Vasachas? But the general principle is that that Enis HaKalalis, that's what the Gemara is working with, Ocha Levela B'Yom HaKippurim. Great. Now, the problem with that is, or is there a problem with, what's the problem with it?
Rashi seems to say that even if it's Nevela on Yom Kippur.
Oh, Rashi says, even if it was Nisnavla on Yom Kippur. It's not Bishlama if it was Nevela before Yom Kippur, and now it's Yom Kippur, so that's a classic case of Iser Chal al Iser. Then you just have to figure out, what about Iser Kola, what about Iser Mosif, etc. Right? But at least in terms of the Kedima of the Isurim, it was an Avela before the day of Yom Kippur, correct? But if it was Nisnavla on Yom Kippur itself, so then Yom Kippur seems to have come prior to the Isur of Nevela. Why would that be Enis HaKalalis? So that's the problem that the Rishonim are addressing. In other sugyas, we have the same discussion. They talk about something slightly different. What else is talked about, Evan?
Treacle.
Trichot? Kind of. Meaning, well, the problem of Safek. And what's the problem of Safek? In other sugyas. I didn't get this to look at, but they're connected. We have a principle, right, called, even if you have Safek, Isur, this is something we'll discuss all year, the principle of Chazaka, right? So the Gemara says in a bunch of places that Behema Bechayaha, right, is what? What's the name Bechayaha? Becheskas Isur. So if you have a Safek, you know, going back to the status of the animal, you know, in its lifetime, as opposed to La'achar or Maisa Shechita, or if there's anything before the Maisa Shechita, right, so Behema Bechayaha, Becheskas Isur, Omedes. Why is that a parallel topic? Why? Daniel? Daniel or Daniel? Daniel. Which one?
Daniel.
Daniel. First for today or? So good. Yeah, good.
I'm not sure.
Okay, Avrami. What's the issue? What's the common denominator? Say again? Oh, okay. I'm saying you have two sugyas. One is the sugya of Enius Achalim, sir. The other is Behema Bechaya Bechaskas Isur Omedes. Right? In both cases, we have the same discussion. Aaron? What's the discussion?
If it's Bechaskas Isur, then how are other Isur going to become?
What is the status? What Isur are we talking about? In the case of Enius Achalim Isur, what Isur preceded Yom Kippur? If indeed it was Nisnavla on Yom Kippur, again, there's one view in Bali Tosis that says it was Nisnavla on Yom Kippur. Sorry, you know, you can't cover all the cases. If it was Nisnavla on Yom Kippur, you'd be Chayv Karis. Right? Because Nevela, that Shita assumes that Nevela only begins La'achar Misa Sabehema, and what preceded it, which was what? Evan? Abram and Achai is long gone, right? If it even existed then, because there's a question whether or not an animal is considered to be like Omeid La'Evareha, or it's only if you really have, you really ripped off a limb and you have Abram and Achai. But if you don't have a, you know, is it Abram and Achai when it's alive? That's a debate in the Gemara, right? But either way, Abram and Achai, once the animal dies, is Paka. That's what the assumption is of these Rishonim. And therefore, it's, you know, it's, there's a time period between, you know, post Avraham and Achai, or the second Avraham and Achai's paka, the Yom Kippur swoops in, right? And only then is there the nail. That's the problem. Similarly, the Hema Becheskas Chayeha, the Hema Becheskas Isur Omedes, like what Isur? Because we're talking about now, after. So, or whatever. Are we talking about Avraham and Achai? Are we talking about, it's not the Vela Becheyeha? Right? So Avraham and Achai, the problem is, but now it's long gone. Because now we're talking about its status now. So we have this view that Ein Machzikin, you know, Meisur Leisur, right? So how do you explain either the Gemara about the Hema Bechaya Becheskas Isur Omedes, or this din of Ein Yisur Chal Leisur? Both of them are problems, right? And then you have two more Gemaras, one later on in Chulin on Lamed Zayin with Aleph. The Bali Tosis are troubled, you know, which we'll get to in a second. And the other in Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf, where the Gemara is talking about whether something had a Shasa Kosher, like what Shasa Kosher going back, did ever have a Shasa Kosher going back to when? Okay. Those are just the parallel. If you look at the Tosis in Shavuos or wherever, they tell you to look at Tosis in Beitza, Tosis in Pesachim is pretty much the same, just a little less. I gave you the most standard Tosis, that's the one in Shavuos. And Tosis the sugya in Beitza is about Behema Bechaya, Becheskas Yisrael Medes. The two sugyas in Chulin are about slightly other, the issues that I'm talking about now. And the one in Pesachim and the one in Shavuos are about Ein Yisrael Medes. Okay, so what does Rashi say in all places? What's Bechayaha in Beitza? Eber Menacha. And what is Ein Yisur Chal Leisur? Eber Menacha. Correct? That's what Rashi says. So Rashi is very consistent. Rashi in Pesachim, Rashi in Shavuos. about Einus HaKal Yisur, and Rashi in Beitza Chafei regarding Beheva B'chaya. In all three places, the Balei Tosis attack, and they say, like, why is this relevant once it dies? Correct? So there are two perspectives that they push, namely, either that it's not, and in Akhanami, well, Eva Makai, you have to say something about, but let's say the Einus HaKal Yisur is only in a case where it was Nisnavla Kodem, right? That's the view of the Riva in Shavuos. What?
The Riva slash Mitzvah.
Say again? A little louder.
The Riva is understanding.
Yeah, you have the Tosfos and Shavuos? Let's give me another couple of minutes. Okay, finish this up. And again, maybe we'll take tomorrow just to finish this, and then Tuesday we'll do the we'll shift the Monday to the Tuesday. Okay. You don't like to mix it up a little bit. Okay, go ahead. You have the Tosfos and Shavuos? The Kasha, the Leman Amar Sof Perek Yud Anasha. Go ahead, Evan. You're doing well. You're on a roll. What? This is Tosis's suggestion. To answer the problem, it's not the Vela, because that's later. It's not Eivor Min HaChai, because that's too early, but that's gone. It's an Isra Vein Nizvucha. I mean, an Isra Aseh. Right? Now again, what this Isra Aseh is, whether it's a Lava B'Machlal Aseh, or it's a Chiyuv Aseh, or a Kiyum Aseh. Well, if it's just a Chiyuv and a Kiyum, and it doesn't create an Isra, that's not going to help you either. So it has to be something which generates some sort of an Isra Aseh. Can't just be a kiyum or a chiyuv, right? It could also be with a kiyum and a chiyuv, but it has to, minimum, for Tosis to make sense, right? This has to be an iser aseh. Now, whether that iser aseh is, you know, something which adds value to the lav and therefore is justified in minyan and mitzvos if Bali Tosis were counting them or not, that we don't know, right? That part we don't know. In order to count for Einus HaKal Yisur, it doesn't need to be it doesn't need to be, you know, countable in the mitzvahs. Okay. All I'm saying is that it cannot be just a chiyuv and a kiyum without having an Yisur connotation. It somehow means that when you eat this animal, you know, after it dies, right, that you're still involved in the Yisur of Einus HaKal Yisur. And so the Kiddush is that it begins when the animal's alive. It's also not so clear. Because again, even if you hold that there's an Isra Aseh, you could have said that it begins when the animal dies. Especially if it's just a reinforcement of a lav. Let me say it this way. It sounds a lot more like what Tosis needs to say is that this is some sort of a kiyum, which also generates an Isra. Right? Now, it's this animal, when you're looking at it as potential food, already you have to be thinking of it in terms of shkita. That's important. So it's sort of a kiyum iser, a kiyum that generates, or a kiyum that generates the iser. Then you could say what you could say. And that's what Tosa says, not only here, but also in Beitza regarding the Hema B'chaya B'cheskas iser omedes, and it's the iser of Eina Zvucha. Okay? That's B'chaya even. Right? Okay. But the Ritzva doesn't like it. Go ahead. That is fascinating. He says, like, it's like flipping around Tosis. Why don't they like Tosis? Because the Eivor Min HaChai is gone. Correct? And why don't they like, that's why Tosis doesn't like Rashi. And why doesn't the Ritzva like Tosis? Because if there really was an Isra Veina Zavuach, the Chaim, then Eivor Min HaChai should always be subject to Einus HaKal Yisur, right? Especially if you hold that it only begins once you rip it out of the animal. And even if not, as we'll see in a moment, because it doesn't apply b'mei imo, does it? Go ahead. It's a caleb, right? The may aim, well, kind of the bar may by aim, that's for sure not. Again, they're assuming it's a real Isser, but they have to assume that it's an Isser that begins not only in the animal, this is a, but also the may emo. Wow. This little potential food, even then, that we're kind of eyeing it? I don't know. A little bit by Yishman, you know, by Yivan, a little bit, right? Well, just look at it as, you know, our pet.
Future pet?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Elabadai?
Elabadai is a lot, though, low, also, Isser, the La Paki Sura. Mechaim, Mechaim, the Isser, Ibrahim, and Akai. La Akramis of Isser Nebelo, Isser Nebelo.
He's a strict constructionist. Abram Rechai ends when the animal dies. The veil only begins when the animal dies. There is no Eina Zvucha. Okay? He's not saying there's Eina Zvucha, but it only begins when the animal dies. Or you know, when you're about to, you know, turn it into... he's not just saying, Eina Zvucha doesn't apply in the beginning of Yom Kippur, which you could have said. He's saying there's no Eina Zvucha. Okay, why doesn't there no Eina Zvucha? Go ahead. Oh, meaning it's a matir. It's a hagdara. But nothing more. Okay? That's what it means. That's all shkita is. Shkita is not a mitzvah. It's not an iser. It's not an iser asay. Right? It's a matir. It's the Torah telling you, you know, how you are able to eat meat, how you're able to be avoid Abram ben Achai and the Vela. It's not a mitzvah in any way. Not a kiyum, not a chiyuv, not a iser, any. Go ahead. Ella?
Ella, kind of,
so what do you do with the Gemara? Ella koi be iser lav arishon. Ubis navla rather, me'er of Yom Kippur, dafka, iri. Correct? Against Rashi and Tosis. So this is what this is now. The question is to deal with. I already said it last time. I'm just going to say it again. But what do you do? How do you explain Rashi? Right? How do you machzikim isa leisa? Whether it's in behema b'chaya b'chaskas iser kaima, the Rashi in Beitza, or the Rashi in Tzachim and the Rashi in Shavuos, right? But what I was saying last time was that when it comes to the relationship between Abram and Achai and Shechita and the Vela, right? There might be good reason to say this isn't a totally independent Isa. Correct? Because in the end of the day, right, that's part of the original story of Isar Basar, Heter Basar, Alide Shechita. Just like the Ramban was throwing Shechita into Noach, you know, we might want to continue to keep Abram and Achai even post-Matan Torah, you know, in our minds. And of course, that would affect the parameters of Abram and Achai and the Bela and so on and so forth. But that, by the way, that is an answer which is, I think you have to say for Rashi, but you have to say something like that for Tosis too. Interesting, ironically, a little bit. I mean, Tosis was saying, how do you get from, you know, from Abram and Achai to Nevela? Right, and then the Ritzvah, the Riva or the Ritzvah or whatever, was asking against Tosis, right, and saying, well, if you hold there's a din of Neshchuta, then how do you ever get Eivam and Achai? That's a different question. But what is Tosis going to answer to that question? Yeah, I would say that just what I'm saying for Rashi about the relationship between Abram and Achai and the Vela, right? Tosis will say, maybe it's easier to say it, about the relationship between Abram and Achai, right? And Or not Sarimda. I mean, the Nevela, rather, and in a Zavuach. But what are they asking for? Not from Ibn Rechai, from Nevela, right? What's the question? From Nevela. Like, how can you ever have Isser Nevela? It's always coming on in a Zavuach.
Ask me.
What?
Lamati Isser Aver.
Oh, Ibn Rechai is asking. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Either way. So the point is, for Rashi, it's the kesher between Eiver Menachai and the Vela, which I'm saying might be different. For Tosus, you need to say the relationship between Eiver Menachai and Eino Zavuach. But for the same reason, even though he might be a Mechali. Clear? Yeah. So this is an interesting question. The Prima Gadim suggests, I'm just going to take one more minute, two nafkamina. Right? You see it, Ellie? Saw it?
The first one is for if the Mummer thinks the Shvul on a Chatzi Shir.
Right.
The Shvul Chal, or were you Mushvul Omer or not?
Do we believe him? The first one is, do we believe him? The second is the Shvul Chal. I mean, what's the difference? What's the real issue behind both? Go ahead. I get excited, but it's not fair for me to trample on your.
If you hold it to Isser Asay, then it's even from a kosher, then you wouldn't have been, then you would have been Moshe Rumi.
Correct.
If you hold it's just a matir, and it's just.
Now again, I don't think that's mukhrach at all, but I do think it's really interesting. Meaning, is it really true that if there's an Isser of Ina Zavuach, that since it's not Belashon Achila, in other words, that applies even Pachas Mikashir. Right? You're assuming that, again, that isn't just like, you know, it isn't defined by avoiding. If Shechita is about avoiding the Vela, right, then it would depend still on the Shir of Achila. Right? Remember that the Rav Avraham and Rambam had the suggestion that Nevela is about avoiding Shechita, is about, you know, missing the opportunity of Shechita? And according to the Prima Gadim, you'd have a funny situation, right? Because, you know, the din of Shechita is even pachos mikazayis. The Vela is noveya, you know, from Eino Shechuta. Right? And I'm not saying it literally, but I'm saying that would be ironic. But I'm just pointing out that the Prima Gadim is assuming a little bit, and I think this is good. I still don't think it's mochar, but I think it's good. In other words, if it was just that the Isra Asei, right, was mechazek, the lav, so then why wouldn't it depend on the shear of a lav? It's really just a reinforcement. It depends on the hagdara of a lav, which is in a language of achila. Right? It sounds like what he's trying to say is, you know, it's more than the lav, and it's separate from the lav. Right? If you asked the Prima Gadim, if you interviewed him and said to him, like, is this a lav of a mechala say which shouldn't get into minyan mitzvos? I'm guessing that he would say it belongs in minyan mitzvos. It's not identical in the shear. There's an upkamina, but I don't mean just technically. I mean, and it goes back to what I said before. Remember that for these Rishonim, it isn't just that, you know, at the moment of the Shechita, it sounds like they really hold that the Kayeha, it's already Eina Zvucha. Which I think is Mechudash anyway, but once you say that, and that's what they are saying, the Rishonim are saying this, then to say, you know, that it's just about making sure that it's not a Nevela, as opposed to saying, oh, this is about. You know, if you're going to, you know, if you see this as your next meal, you know, then you have to be no egg, dine shchita, you know, you have to relate to this as a davar shebekdusha. Like, if that's what's going on, I still don't think it's mukhrach that it has to be less than the shir, but less than the kazayas, but it makes sense that it could be. It's really a separate point. It's about shchita. Who says the shir shchita is to do anything with kazayas? Right? Either way, so his point is, he has these two nafkamina, very good. Number one, if you're a mumar, do we believe you? We don't believe you on Isurei Torah. Is this an Isur Torah? Or is this an Isur Chatzishir? Chatzishir is also an Isur Torah. Is this an Isur HaMefurash Batorah? The answer is, this is an Isur HaMefurash Batorah, because since it's somewhat independent of the parameters of Nevela, right, and it doesn't have the language of Achila, and therefore doesn't have, it's not bound to the language of Achila, so, you know, why should it be dependent on the shear of Kizayas, right? So you believe him. That's A. B, what was the second one?
Scholar,
yeah, so let's say you took a shvua and you said, I hereby am nishba not to eat chatzi shir, you know, of neveu, let's say. Right? So normally, there's a lot of evidence, right? We actually discussed this in shvuas a couple of years back. That's the sugya in Yuma and, you know, and elsewhere. That that the din of mushba v'yomeid behar Sinai, you know, doesn't apply to chatzi shir, even though chatzi shir is also minat Torah according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, why that should be, you know, it might be nisr klali, whatever, or it's just a different level, whatever it is, or maybe mushba v'yomeid behar Sinai depends on being mefurash b'Torah. And that's what the shvua part of it is. There are different ways to explain that, but either way, that's the assumption. Right? Not everybody agrees, but that's the assumption. So now the question is, if this was just a din of chatzi shir, then the shvua would be chal. It wouldn't be, you know, nishbayin ala mitzvos. It wouldn't be ein shvua chal al shvua. It wouldn't be a superfluous shvua. But if you hold that this is a case where there's no chatzi shir, then that's a different story. Right? The Minchas Chinuch has a third nafkamina, similar, you know, kedarko, and that is, well, it's a kedarko, but the nafkamina is shalo kedarko, meaning what if you eat shalo kedarko? Sorry. Because the Gemara says in Pesachim about Kilei HaKerem and Basa B'Kolav, you know, that the reason that they are also chayiv shalo kederech is because the Torah doesn't use the expression of achila. So you know the Milchus Chinuch. He's like, you know, his antennae are always up. So he says, oh, you know, for the same reason the Prima Gadim, he quotes the Prima Gadim also, same reason the Prima Gadim doesn't think, you know, that there's a Shir Kazayas, you know, I think the same applies to Shalom Kedera. Katsan Yisrachila. Now I would just add, for both, again, I don't think it's Mukra, especially if it's connected to Nevela. But I do think if it's a different Mechayev, then it makes a lot of sense. Because why? It's not about the shiur or even the ochel. It's about, again, avoiding or not acknowledging the need for the matir, and in addition to not doing it, everything we've been talking about. So even in shalo kederach, that might be true. You're treating it as, you know, as ochel. You know, maybe the maisa beira of achila you wouldn't have. Again, if it was lab or olav belab uba'asei, it was just a reinforcement. I don't think you can ever disconnect it from the requirements of the Vela. Again, Prima Gadim doesn't spell it out. But for Tosus, I really think it's very compelling because, as I say, they think that it's even before, it's sitting there as a cheftza shel in a zabuach. You know, even before you're thinking of shechting, it's like Yom Kippur, you're not thinking of shechting it. Right? So I think that's a very interesting perspective. Now the question is, if it's really in a zavuach, yeah.
Where exactly do you draw the line with that? I mean, you would need enough smeya, you don't have enough grill.
Right, so that, I don't... Right. I'm not sure you'd even need
anything.
That.
Yeah. Wait, but I'm saying like sikha, kishio,
I think you'd need something to be considered some sort of a... If indeed you need, you know, some sort of achila.
We're not going to say sikha, kishio here.
Right, but no, you mean in terms of achilas achafta? No, because we don't care about that. Right?
Yeah, we do care.
It would be some sort of achilas agabra, but I think it would always be the minimum. That's a good question. It would always be the minimum to all of those categories. Meaning sometimes hanos grono is more kal than hanos meyav, and some things hanos meyav is more kal than hanos grono. So my suspicion is that it would depend on the kal shebekula. Because it isn't, unlike, let's say, what we say about Yom Kippur, or Kelei HaKerem, or Basa B'Kolav, or like Achila Sviya for benching, and so on, where, you know, it's one or the other, Lekula and Lechumra. Here, I think the whole point is that you've ignored the requirement of Shechita. That's the real Mechayiv. You have to do that in a concrete way, again, similar to what we were discussing about, like, not knowing the halachos, or not being, checking them. If that isn't enough, and it also has to be connected to the to the violation that follows, so you need something. But whether what you need, you know, qualifies for the Easter lab of Nevela, or it's just something that connects you in some Easter way to this, you know, non-kosher food, I would say the kula shebekula. That's my guess. That's a good point. Okay, so there's another prima gadim, and that's in the beginning of Simen Yud Tes, where he connects it to the problem of bracha. That's what we'll pick up with it tomorrow. In other words, and this is really an issue that the Rishonim discuss. If anybody got a chance to see the famous tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, that's quoted in the Abu Dram and the Yitur and the Tshuva Sarajba. It's in the beginning of the Abu Dram, if you want to look at it there. I think it's, did I write down the number? In Tshuva Sarajba, I'm really going to stop in one more second. If you get a chance to look at the Or Zeruah Aleph Kuf Mem also, but just very quickly, we're going to go through this tomorrow. It's in Tzvim Deim Kufayin Tes. It doesn't matter where you see it. Tshuva Sarajba Aleph Yud Ches, all over the place. The Bal Itur Nechas Tzitzis. There's a famous Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat was asked by the Ravi Avad. Most people think it was the Ravi Avad who asked me about the Ravid. There are some people who think it was the Ravid. They always get mixed up. Also, it's a father-in-law and a son-in-law, so maybe they're both in on the action. Possible. Like a team, like a very nice idea. But he was asked, what's the rule in Hilchos Brachos? Like, how come sometimes you make brachos, sometimes you don't make brachos? How come you just expanding on the Gemara and Pesachim, sometimes you say this, sometimes you say al. What are the rules? And he gave, as you can imagine, this was like a great, he gave his answer. He was, choker many things. And then other people weighed in, So it became like a, it's a discussion that continues to our day, as it should. So part of the discussion, just to leave you on this note, is Yosef Ibn Palat, one of the things that the Rabbi Avad suggested was, well, if the rule is that you don't make a bracha on something which is connected to an Iser, to an Azara, then why do you make a bracha on Shechita? So of course, that is very relevant to what the Prima Gadim years later, of course, was saying in Simen Yud Tes Aleph, and that is, the Prima Gadim was trying to explain, how come it sounds like the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, maybe even the Ramban, it sounds like they think it's a Chiddush that you say a Bracha here, what's a Chiddush? Again, my opinion, the Ramban is saying much more than that. He's saying the opposite, right? Maybe the Bracha should be Makkeh. But the way the Prima Gadim is saying it is of course. So he says, maybe, because if there really is an Isra Asay, as you see my discussion in my Hakdama, Prima Gadim was famous for his Hakdamas, then then maybe there shouldn't be a bracha at all. So really, that is foreshadowed in this whole exchange, way back in 12th century, about with Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat and Rabbi Abad and so on, where they said why are we making bracha shechita? Is it connected to the Isser? But it may depend on what the nature of the Isser is, the Isser Asay, as we've been discussing. So I want to talk about that and what they say, but especially very quickly the Taz, and we still have to talk about the Rush, then the other things that we will finish up the brachos hopefully, and then Moshe Taiva, and then we go straight.
Rabbi, just about the Gemara and Pei Dalet, why is what one can eat a function of how much money?
No, we did not record again. Were we supposed to turn it on? Because I kind of locked it.
I tried.